participating in the worship, Lord God, and already destroying the yoke, Lord God. And we just ask you, Lord, to just put the finishing touches, Lord God, on this word, Lord God, that you have given, Lord God, to exhort your saints of God. And Lord God, we ask you, Lord God, as I decrease, that you increase, Lord God, that you remove anything, Lord God, that's not like you, Lord God, that you, Lord God, would be the one here, Lord God, ministering unto your sons and daughters. And Lord God, we ask you, Lord God, to divide the word up, Lord God, as many ways as it needs, Lord God, to reach each and every heart, Lord God, because we believe, Lord God, that this word is for everyone, Lord, that is in the house today. And all these blessings we ask your son Jesus' name. Amen. Thank God. Real quick, we're going to have Priya come up here. We're going to pray for her. She's going back to college. She had a little spring break. Now it's over. Time to get back to work. We truly love her and we appreciate her. Been asking. She's a little volleyball star. Been asking her for an autograph for like 2 years. Still haven't got it, but that's okay. Going to pray for her. Elder Phillips, will you pray for her? Until I get an autograph, I'm not going to pray for her.
Oh, my God.
Father, my goodness, Father, we just bless your child here, Lord, yes. As she goes back to college, God. Give her the strength and stamina to stand for you, oh Father God. Let her declare your word wherever she may be, oh Father God. Let her light shine brightly because it is you who has illuminated her, Father.
Yes.
Let her steps be sure. Let her words be, oh God, as you have given them to her to do. And in her studies, oh Father God, you be with her. You guide her through it, God. That this, your child, God, would be to your honor and your glory. Let the parents not be concerned or worried about anything, Father. For Lord, they have taught her well, and she will do it. That is best within her, God, to bring honor and glory to the family. Bless you now in Jesus' name.
Jesus' name. Safe journey. Amen. This Friday and Saturday, we're going to have a men's praying stay. So shut in. For those who do not know, we're going to be here all night. We're going to be praying and we're going to have some sessions. We're going to have about a 4-part session all through the night. We're going to have discussion time. It's time for men to come out the caves. So I'm asking you guys to clear your schedules for Friday night. Saturday morning, they're going to give us a hospitality's going to give us a nice little breakfast as we depart. And the apostle is going to impart into us. And he's going to give us some time for discussion after each video so that we can share our hearts with one another. And I think it's important for men to be intimate. We can be intimate with some things, but with God, we find it hard to. And we like to be by ourselves. But this is a time to be intimate with God. And show our young men how to be intimate with God and show each other and build each other up. So I'm asking all men to come out. I'm asking women, encourage your sons, encourage your fathers, encourage your husbands, your brothers, encourage them to come out. We're going to receive. It's just a matter of if you're going to be here or not to receive from it. We want all men to come. Invite your co-workers if you need to be. Invite everybody to come out. We're going to have other churches that are going to be coming out to participate with us. And we want to have a great showing of men. We want to let God know how serious we are about him. Amen? There's a sign up on the back, and the reason for the sign up is to let us know how much breakfast we're going to be making. So if you have an expectation that your coworker is going, put your coworker down because we want to see them here. Amen? Your neighbor, whoever it is. So Father, I just thank God so much. First, I want to give honor to Apostle and his wife, Pastor Linda, in their absence. If you did not know me, my name is Pastor Sam. I have just truly been a member of this church for probably 18 years. Really love it. And it's been a wonderful opportunity, still in the military, and had this opportunity to be here before you and to serve in the military on this same base for that very long, for 22 years. And I really enjoyed every command I've been at. And I have enjoyed worshiping with this body of Christ. And it has changed over the years. We've had some people come and go. And we've had some people stay. But there has been depth and there has been growth. I can attest to that, that there has been a lot of growth for people who have come up under the ministry and worked alongside. Oh, sorry. Please excuse the children. Because they worried about me a little bit because I run pretty fast on my sermons. And they don't really get their lesson if I don't get them out of here. Thank you. Thank you, Ms. Michelle. Thank you, Pastor Carl, for that prayer for our young sister there. And I want to share real quick before I get into the message. I was thinking about, and I was sharing with my brother Chris, I was thinking about impact. I was thinking about ripple effect of how God allows us to operate in the kingdom. And when I was in prayer this morning, God was reminding me about my mother. Don't know why, but I know just God just loves her so much. Maybe that's what it is. He was reminding me about her mother, and she didn't give us a whole lot. And for those of you who know me, that I used to always complain that asking my mom for Christmas gifts every year, she's like, I'm going to give you Jesus. And I'm like, I got Jesus last year. I want something different. But she didn't always have the money that she, you know, to provide for us, but she always made sure that we had what we need. And to this day, I'm just so glad that she gave me Jesus. I'm glad that she was honorable enough to know that I don't have much, but what, like Peter said, such as I have, I'm going to give to you. And she provided very well. I'm telling you that I grasped onto it. And when I thank God for the grasping, because I think about when you plant an apple seed. I grew up on a farm. And when you plant seeds, you don't know exactly, especially like seeds that produce trees. You don't know how many. Like, so if I plant an apple seed, you do not know how many apples, season after season, how many apples are going to come up from that one seed. Now think about my mama planting that seed. Now it was three of us children, and we've all went our separate ways, and my sister's still following God, and my brother, just last year, he gave his life back to God, because he had a foundation, you know what I mean? He just needed that push to get him back to where he was at. I truly thank God for that. Now he's living for God right now, and his wife is Catholic. It's a little bit of conflict. However, that he's still serving God. I truly believe that, and as the man, so goes the house. You guys believe that? As the leader of the house, so goes the house. So be mindful of that. And that's just another plug in for the praying day. So goes the house. So when she and God were just reminding me, and not for any glory of my own, but for all the glory of him, I just reminded me of when I first met my lovely wife, Monica, and we were having Bible studies in the barracks, sharing the word of God with men in the barracks. And then when I got married and got out the barracks, I went and then I went on deployment, went on a boat and having Bible studies on the boat, sharing the word of God with men and women. And then when I, and not only there, when I came to the house of God, was able to share, working in men's ministry, able to encourage and able to have Bible studies here and from time to time, having an opportunity like this to preach. And I never used the pulpit as a place for me to share the word of God. If I'm at home in my garage, I'm going to share the word of God. If I'm at work, if I'm doing a far walk down, I'm going to share the word of God. So it does not matter the platform. I'm going to share the word of God, and if it had not been for my mama, just to plant that seed, and I can't even go further than that. If it had not been for God to grasp a hold of the heart of my mom, to say, you know what, I don't have a lot, but I'm going to give my son the best thing that I can possibly give him, I would not be here today. You know, and that is just, it just blesses my heart. I'm almost a little choked up, but I'm just so glad that my mom did it for me. I'm so glad that I'm here before you today, because seasons after seasons, apples are coming. You hear what I'm saying? Apples are coming. And there's been many people that I've invited to church, and there's been many people who declined that offer. Oh, but the ones that did, you know what I mean? It's not every apple that makes it to the apple pie. You know what I mean? So that's okay with me. Not every apple makes it to the apple pie. And God has prepared a place for each and every one of us. I'm going to get to my notes. I don't know why. I'm just giving the kids a little bit more time. But I was just thinking that Apostle was sharing with us at a leadership. I don't know if it was the leadership or, but they were talking about God's preparing a place for us. And I've said that scripture over and over again. It's in Matthew's where it says that I go to prepare a place for you. And it says, in my house, there are many mansions. If it was not so, I would not have told you. But the caveat, if you look at that scripture again, he said, in my Father's house, there are many mansions. I go to prepare a place for you. So it's depending on your walk right now, what place you're going to be in. He said, my Father's got some mansions, and I'm going to prepare a place for me. And I just think about God, that if God can create the heavens and the earth and make the waters and the sunshine and everything that we know is beautiful, if he would take the time to build me a house, how beautiful would that house look? My goodness. Then I also think about if I just walk this walk in the old kind of way, and then I say, God, I just want to give you my life, And he says, you know what? I don't have to work that hard, Sam. You didn't do very much for me. Seems like that's kind of like, that's not like God. You know what I mean? That's not like Jesus. Why would he do something like that? But our work here is equivalent to what we're doing in heaven. And today I want to talk to you about the standard. There is a standard. And the scripture, Isaiah 59:16-21. And the key verse I'm going to focus on is the 19th verse. But if you bear with me, if you have your Bibles or if you have your electronic devices, if you would go with me and just read with me. I'm coming from the King James versions, and you can welcome to use any version that you would like. And the scripture says, from the starting at the 16th verse, he saw that there was no man and wondered that there was no intercessor. Therefore, his own arm brought salvation to him, and his own righteousness, it sustained him. For he put on righteousness as a breastplate and a helmet of salvation on his head. He put on the garments of vengeance for clothing, and he was clad with zeal as a cloak. According to their deeds, accordingly he will repay. Fury to his adversaries, recompense to his enemies. The coastland he will fully repay. So shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west, and his glory from the rising of the sun. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against him. 20th verse says, the Redeemer will come to Zion, and those who turn from transgressions in Jacob, says the Lord. And finally, in the 21st verse, it says, as for me, says the Lord, this is my covenant with them, my Spirit who is upon you, and my words which I have put in your mouth shall not depart from your mouth, nor from the mouth of your descendants. Nor from the mouth of your descendants, says the Lord, from this time and forevermore. May God have blessed you to the reading of his word. And it's so much in that passage of scriptures. But as I was studying out this standard, the standard defined easily as an idea or a thing used to measure, a norm or example to evaluate a level of quality. So when you think about different types of hotels, and you think about some have 5-star hotels. If you've ever been to one, 3-star, 4-stars, it all depends on all the amenities they are providing, the customer service, and they go through a rigorous process to make sure everything that they're offering you and everything that they can provide and everything that they have available is 5-star rating. And it's not easy for every hotel to get it. My wife and I have, we had the wonderful opportunity, let me tell you like that, a wonderful opportunity to stay in a 1-star hotel. And it was quick. I'm talking about temporary. Now, me being in the military, I have lived in some harsh conditions, but my wife, not so. So as soon as she looked at the bed, she said, I am not sleeping in that bed. We are going to go find some, we're going to go to our friend's house, and we're going to sleep there. And I was like, well, amen. I don't know if it was bed bugs, or she's probably saved me from some bed bugs or whatever was on them sheets. We just know that it wasn't clean. It was not a place that my beautiful wife could lodge in. Me, probably I probably would have stayed there and sucked it up with no problem. But I just got that, that old dirty South Texas boy that my wife always telling me about. Just dirty. And I'm talking about dirty in the dirty South. But this standard that we have, and there are standards for everything that we do. I was thinking about, and I was talking with my brothers yesterday, and I was like, what is the standard that you expect when people come to your home and just use your bathroom? What is the expectation? What is the standard? Flush it. Whatever they're using. What else? Clean it after yourself. Right, right. And I was talking to them, and some people didn't even mention anything about washing their hands. But some people are like, no, you got to wash your hands. But at least flush the toilet. We don't want to see what you left behind. Amen? Sorry for my graphic. But there's a standard in everything that we do. There's a standard when you go into the military, and I won't get off into that. But there's also a standard that is expected of you, even when we were in the world, and some of you may not have been in the world. Some of you, I have been in the world. I've been to the club. There was a standard when I went to the club. There were some people there that was going, what? There's going to be standing on the wall checking things out, right? There's going to be some people that's going to be at the bar drinking it up until they get to that sweet spot before they can party. And then there was going to be people like me that was going to be going straight to the dance floor. And I'm going to sweat it out, and I'm going to have a good time. I don't know if I told you. That's where I met my wife. I met her there. She didn't remember me. I don't know why she didn't remember me, but she didn't remember me. But with them moves, man, I just don't understand why nobody could remember those moves that I had. I was making room for my. I was one of those guys that I moved wide enough so people could see. But there was a standard that people come. So when you went into a club, you didn't have to be indoctrinated. Did anybody see any ushers in the club? Bouncers, but you didn't see ushers. No one said, "Hey, you, I don't know what type of person you are, but you look like a guy that's going to go to the bar, so you just go to the bar. And how about you? You look like you could dance. You come over to the dance floor. And how about you? You like a Poindexter. You come over to the wall, and you just stand on the wall, and you just peep out the game and see which woman is drunk enough that you can take them home without any resistance." That's how it was. And it was funny because I was talking to this young man the other day, and I said, "Hey, man, when you go to the club, is this still... this going on?" He said, "Yeah, still going on." He said, "And they still playing the ladies' music?" He said, "Yeah, still going on. I ain't been in a club in 22 years. Ain't nothing changed." So I'm telling you, if you leave now, if you're going, if there's anybody, you ain't missing nothing. It's going to be the same old thing going on. But there's a standard. You understand what I'm saying? And another definition, which I really want to focus on today, is the definition of the other definition of standard, which means a banner or a flag. So you'll see it in Numbers, if you ever get a chance to read Numbers, which is a really awesome. At first, I was reluctant to read Numbers, but once I delved into it, I began to understand. Now, this is after the time that the children of Israel were divided up and they were distributed their land. And everybody got their land except the Levites. So what they would do is, so people could recognize them, they would put up their banner. And their banner said whatever it needed to be saying. Some people would look at it as a family crest. You could look at it as family crest. But that's what their standard was. And they said that when you come to this place, this is your standard. So what that purpose was, that when people seen you afar off, they knew if you was friend or foe. They also knew what kind of house you live. You know what I mean? Some people right now, today, right, you put your little family name, the Giles. They put your name on your door, and people come by, either they know that you're friend or foe. Don't go to the Giles' house. You're going to find some trouble. They're going to be cussing you out. They don't want you on their grass. You know what I mean? You put your sign on the door, and people say, "You know what? Let's go to that house, man, because it's always a welcoming house." You got the welcome mat on there, and people feel at home when they come into your house. That was your banner. That was your standard. And people knew what your standard was if they've ever visited your house. Amen? And this is the standard this scripture was talking about. He was talking about the banner that the Lord was lifting up. And I thought about, what is that standard? And today I want to share that with you. What that standard is when God lifts it up. What does that standard look like, and how do we get that standard raised for our lives? So first, before I go there, I want to tell you what it says. When the enemy comes in like a flood. And I thought about how the enemy comes. Well, how the enemy comes. And I've heard the scripture is really awesome to see that, because when that, if you guys could pull that scripture up for me right quick. When the enemy comes in like a flood. And I've listened to different over my years of being coming to church and listening to different ministers, people would change where they put the comma at. They would say, when the enemy, let me read it. It says, 19th verse, it says, when the enemy comes in like a flood, comma, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against him. But there are many that believe that maybe the comma was in the wrong place. So they say, when the enemy comes, and then they would have put a comma there, and then it says, like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against, which is wonderful. It sounds good. I think it'll preach a good message. However, if anybody is like me that has been through some trials, that's exactly how the enemy comes, like a flood. And I wanted to tell you, when you get married, you marry into not just that beautiful spouse that you always wanted, right? You married into the whole kit and caboodle. That means that intrusive mother-in-law, that's yours. That quiet dad don't really say too much. Maybe he sits on the corner and drinks a beer, sit on his couch. You might have that. You may have adopted into it. You may have that uncle that's drunk, that drunk uncle. You may have that drunk uncle, but that's your drunk uncle now. You may have that auntie that thinks that she makes the best macaroni, but everybody knows that's going to be what's left over at the end of the Thanksgiving dinner, because everybody know it ain't good, right? You may have that. And you might even have that cousin that nobody want to talk about that's in and out of jail. And every time you see him, you're like, no, I ain't got no money. I can't let you hold nothing. But now that's your cousin. And what's funny to me is that when you come into the family of God, that's the same family that you have. It says, like, man, but does it make you better, though? When you come into a family, you learn how to deal with those isms and schisms, or you can cut them off altogether, but there's no growth in that. Because those family members help you grow. They help you to build up a tolerance. They help you build up a prayer life. If you're really praying for them, amen? But when you come into the bottom of the body of Christ, what's more importantly is that you adopt the enemy of God, which is Satan. You adopt him. As soon as you come to this altar, give your life to God. And if it's not the altar, whether you be on the street or in somebody's home, it doesn't matter. When you say that I acknowledge Jesus as my personal Lord and Savior, and I want to live my life for God, you have adopted the enemy. Satan is on his job. He got your number. He is very good at his organization. He says, okay, you got it. You want to live for Jesus? I'm following you. Jessica, I want to find out what makes you tick. I want to find out what your weakness is, and then I'm going to exploit them. Marlon, I'm not going to let you stand by. I'm not going to let you use your gifts in the house. I'm going to find out what your weaknesses is, and I'm going to destroy you. In my Bible, I don't know if your Bible says this, but it says that Satan, the thief comes to steal, kill. Oh, you know this, right? You know this scripture. Some of you've heard it. Is there anything about that scripture that tells you that he's playing? When I read it, I'm a bit concerned. Because I don't want anything in my life stolen. I don't want anything in my life to be killed or destroyed. So if he is serious about his thing, what about you? Are you serious about your spiritual weapons? Are you serious about your life that you said that you're giving to God, that you came to the altar and cried your life out and said, God, for God I live, for God I die. I don't know if you did it, but that's what I did it. I was happy to know that I was a son of God and I was his friend. I was happy to know that whatever he wanted me to do, I'm going to do it. If he wanted me to play the drums, doggone it, you're going to have them drums played. If he wanted me to witness to somebody that looks standoffish, I'm going to go talk to that brother. I want to be serious about what God says, and I want you to be serious about what God says. So you have adopted this enemy. He was there when you confessed your sins. He was there when you got baptized. He was there when you committed to living for God and bringing your talents. And once you decide to come to this altar, it is an act of war. Have you ever thought about this? You know, you say the devil coming up against me. Have you ever thought about he's retaliating from what you did? You came up here this morning and you gave this wonderful praise to God. And the devil is like, you got me, Diane. Wait till we get out of church. Wait till 3 o'clock. Wait till school's over. I'm coming back at you. What I need you to know, and this is so serious, I want you to grasp it. Please take it seriously, is the devil is relentless. And if you would be honest with yourself, he is more cunning. And he is more patient than any of you. I got to tell you that he's been doing this since day one. He deceived Eve since day one. And you think you're going to come in here and you're going to do a little happenstance prayer. You're going to do a little weak praise and think that you're going to defeat the enemy. You got another thing coming. Let me tell you, he is patient. You beat me today, Marlon. Oh, man, cool. I'm not taking off my armor. I'm not taking down. I'm not shutting down my plans and saying, oh, screw it. Cheyenne, you praise God and you prayed and you gave a testimony. Dang it, I can't get this girl. He's never said that. He's never going to say that. He's going to say, you got one. But I'm going to wait for you, Lanasia. I'm going to wait because there will be a day when you're weak. When you proclaim Jesus today, you come to this altar, fine. But wait till you get home. So everything is not clean in your home. Wait till you get home. I got you. Oh, your house is good. It's a house of refuge. Oh, that's beautiful, Elder Johnny. Wait till you get to work. I got you. Diane, I'll see you at the grocery store. Marlon, are you on that road? Oh, yeah. I got some things that'll tantalize your brain. You ain't lifting me up right now. You kind of sick right now. Ain't that something? Catches you while you're weak. And he says, this is now is my time. He has never said that I'm going to give up. Oh, Lord, woe is me. Never. He knows what his future is, Monica. So if he can trip you up, hallelujah, you can come back with him.
Hallelujah.
Let me tell you, God is greater. God is so much greater. I got to tell you, though, I didn't come to encourage you. I came to provoke you. You cannot do it by yourself. We say it all the time. I can do all things through Christ Jesus that strengthened me. But when Jesus is not in the picture, I can do all things. Finish the scripture. I can do all things. And then when you get beat down, you're feeling kind of depressed and you're feeling kind of hurt. Where are you, God? Well, did you include him in it? Yeah, you can do all things, but you cannot do it by yourself. Let's be honest. And people might tell you that he's just a roaring lion and he don't got no power, but he is. He's an angelic. He is a demon. He's a spiritual being. He has some power. Don't get it twisted. So when you want to battle against the enemy, you got to use the right tools. When the enemy comes in like a flood, how you love that? How do you love that when you're weak, at your weakest point, that's when he wants to come in. He's cunning. I told you that, right? So that means he's going to wait until your guard is down. Oh, I had a good time in praise service. It was so good. That word was good. Apostle just laid it down. But you didn't grasp it in your heart. And when you went to work, I cussed him out. I straight up cussed him out. I'm going to tell you like it is. I cussed him out. Forgot all about the word. Yeah, I still remember the word. I still remember what the scripture was. But I didn't put it inside my heart. And the devil throws it in your ear. You thought you heard that word. You thought you was a super Christian. You thought that you got things back together. When the enemy comes in like a flood. And he says, okay, I'm girded up. I'm going to be praying. And then your kids are not doing well. And let me just give you an example. Can you guys, if some of you guys have not heard, I encourage you to read Job. Just the first two chapters. What did he do to Job? What he did to Job is that he was bragging on Job. And what did Satan, he told Jesus what he was going to do. He was Jesus, I mean, God was talking to his sons. And here comes Satan. Where you been, man? I've just been going to and fro. To and fro. You know what that to and fro is? Waiting for opportunities. You girded up? You girded up? Oh, Peter, what a man of God. He closed his door. I can't get through the door. But guaranteed I'm coming through the window. Oh, you close the window? That's wonderful. I'm sleeping through the cracks because you don't have no sealant at the bottom. I'm sleeping through the cracks. Oh, those cracks are sealed? Wonderful, Damon. Check this out. I'm coming in on the back of your kids. I'm coming home with your spouse. When the enemy comes in like a flood. So here we have Job. And Job was being bragged on about Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Why did he brag on him? Because he knew exactly what he is capable of. And he knew exactly what his limitations were. So in the first chapter, he begins to attack his character. Satan attacks his character and says, oh, yeah, God, so long as you got his finances, of course he's not going to cuss you to your face. Of course he's not going to say anything bad. Of course he's going to praise you. Let me take something from him. There you go. Satan comes at you at your finances. It's like, why am I always broke? It's because he can keep you weak. Then he can flood anything you want because you're always thinking about what you need to pay and what you have in the bank and what you owe and what you need to pay and what you owe and what you need to pay and what you have in the bank and when is I'm going to get paid again? Goodness gracious, and I keep getting the phone calls from the bill collectors and I'm still getting the phone calls and what do I owe and I don't got nothing in the bank. Now I'm not thinking about what? What am I not thinking about?
Come on now.
I ain't thinking nothing about God. The one that's providing for me, that gave me the job to keep working, I'm concerned more about what's in my bank account and who's calling me telling me that they owe, that I owe them. He's coming in like a flood. And then what else did he do to Job? Then he came in, and I mean, it was back to back. I'm talking about a flood. Can you imagine you hearing bad news from one guy and before he even finished the sentence, another guy comes in and says, hey, your kids, they was all in the house together and they died. Now they took his children. And before he get finished, they tell him that, yo, now Satan says, yeah, he didn't say nothing to you, God. Pretty good. But I guarantee you, you've been holding me back. Allow me. See, God has to give the enemy permission.
That's right.
So when you're going through these things, it's not because the devil has full reign on your life. He has gotten permission from God. Well, why would a God do that? Why would a God give the enemy position to take me out? Well, I'll tell you why. I'm glad you asked that question. Is it because he wants to build you up? He knows that there will be times when you're going to need to stand. And if you have never been through nothing, you ain't going to never get through nothing. So he says, you know what? Just don't not go past his life. Touch his skin, but don't touch his life. Oh, man. Good. Let me put some boils on this brother. Let him sit in sackcloth and ashes, because that's what they did to try to relieve it. The ashes would try to relieve the pain of the skin being the boils and stuff, or the leprosy or whatever it was in there. But that would try to relieve him. And then here comes his friends. And it was a wonderful thing. I just got a chance to, with the other leaders in the house, we got a chance to go through Job. And for a long time, I hadn't read all the way through it. Thought it was just him complaining to God back and forth. But it was his friends going back and forth with him, telling him, maybe you did something wrong. Maybe you did something wrong. That's God taking you through all that stuff. Why can't you get that together? Why you keep falling for the same okey-doke? God might be bragging on you. God might be saying, don't touch his life. But allow him to go through this thing, because I need him. I need her strengthened. When the enemy comes in like a flood. And if you get an opportunity, please read it. I'm not going to say when you get an opportunity, read it. Read it today. I'm just asking for a first two chapters. Who knows what God will take you after that? But read it. And I got to impress upon you, please get this. If you get nothing else, you are not going to win if you are not reading your Bible. You are not going to read, because you're not going to know the heart of God. You're not going to understand how he works. You are not going to understand what you're going through if you have not read it. What I love about it is we got some training the other day through the Bible study, which was the Kingdom Agenda. And Pastor Tony Evans said, or Dr. Tony Evans said, that God wanted us to live by revelation and not by experience. So what does that mean? That means, as parents, if you guys understand, or those who've had parents, you understand that your parents told you, do this, do this, do this, do that, do this, do that. And they said, I'm not telling you this because I'm trying to punish you. I'm telling you this because this will save your life. You're not going to live long enough to make these same mistakes yourself. So if I tell you it's hot, believe me that it's hot, and don't try to experience it for yourselves. How many experience it for themselves hot? Goodness gracious, we ain't none of us living. But I tell you, we ain't going to live long enough if we continue, especially young people, if you're not continuing to listen to what those people who have gone before you and take what they say as golden. I press upon you is to take those advice. And I impress upon you even more is to get with those older people who have been through that. We have valuable in the house of God. If you don't have it at home, we have it in the house of God. How old are you, Mama Ellen? Six. Thank you. I know it's not supposed to be proper to ask women, but I thank God for you asking. 68 years of experience. You're not getting with her and asking her, how is it can you at 24 make it to 68? You are doing yourself a disservice. This is a woman that has been proven, has been tried and walking with God. Amen. Should be surrounding her door. She should be getting visitation. Hope that they don't get you too much, but you should be getting that visitation. Elder Phillips, how old are you? Elder Odin. Both these brothers got over 20 years of experience, more than me. So when they talk, I listen. Juan, how old are you? I'm 42. Check this out. Juan's been, he grew up in North Carolina. I grew up in Houston, Texas. South Carolina. Hey. His experiences are not like my experiences. So that's where the iron sharpens iron. I can learn something from him. He can learn something from me. Elder Johnny. 48. How's that, 6 years on me? I need those 6 years. How about you? Do you think you need those 6 years, dear? I need every last one of them. Because I need to live by revelation. Now, check this out. You know how old this book is? I don't know how many years myself, but I need every little bit. And I need not roll my eyes when I read the word, and I need not say that I can read it later or just read a couple of tidbits. That's disrespectful. Just imagine you talking to this wisdom. And you say, I'm just going to give you a couple of, and now somebody would say, you know what? I'm going to take baby steps and I'm going to read a couple of verses. I'm telling you that. Let me remind you again, Satan is on his job. far more cunning, far more patient. And he's going to get you. I heard the story of this man that he would always go around and he would share his testimony. And he would say, I was on the road and I met Satan. And boy, we had a battle. And we was going after it day after day. And it seemed like I got the victory over him, but it seems like he always coming back. And then he would share his testimony again. And he would say, Emmanuel, oh my goodness, that I'm living for Jesus and I was on this journey. And then I met Satan. And he had friends there. You know, you got those friends that hear your testimony a little bit too many times. And they be like, man, I done heard that testimony. It seems like you always finding Satan. I've been walking with God. I mean, I've been walking these roads. I ain't never seen Satan. He said, well, brother, maybe you walking in the same direction. He ain't worried about you. You know, that is a litmus test. That lets you know if you're really going through something. If things going good for your life, maybe you should be worried. Like I'm telling you, when the enemy comes in like a flood, he is coming after you. But you know what? He can relax brace. Because if you're on the same team, why do you need to shoot at you? If you're still going there and you're still struggling with the same old things you were struggling with last year, why does he need to worry about you? Oh, I'm going to go to church? Oh, go to church. He don't care. Especially if you ain't got no power and you ain't going to take nothing to go with it. You just coming to see somebody preach you happy. If you just coming to see somebody sing real well. If you just coming to see somebody, how they looking at in their garb today. What they wearing? I say garb. What they wearing? If that's what you're coming for, come on to church. You think devil is worried about that? He ain't worried about it one bit. What he is concerned about is what you get out of the word. What are you going to apply to your life? And how are you going to affect his kingdom? How are you going to thwart his plans? Saints, it is time out for just being babies. Even in your life, you would think something wrong if you saw a baby still sucking from the mom's teat at 7 years old. Am I right? Would you be concerned? What would you tell that mother? The same thing I'm telling you right now. If you still are not reading your word, if you still don't have a prayer life over what you say over things before you eat, if you're counting that as your prayer life, let me tell you, it's time to grow up. If you're counting on that you're sharing, that you're saying yes and amen to somebody that's sharing their testimony instead of giving, it's time to grow up. The enemy is far more cunning, and he is far more patient. He is far more powerful than you. So if you're walking with no power, stand by. You might be on his team. First Peter 5 and 8, if you could bring that up, sir. I promised him I was going to read them. I want you to see it for yourself. Be sober. Be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walking about, seeking whom he may devour. Do you want to be devoured today? The thief does not come. This is John 10 and 10. But I want you to catch the end of this. It says, the thief does not come except to steal, kill, and destroy. And what does God say in rebuttal to that? I have come that you may have life, and that you may have it more abundantly. So you have two different spectrums here. You have a spectrum that there is an enemy that you have adopted yourself into, that you have willingly said that I want to live for Christ. And when you come to this understanding that you have this enemy against you, you must have the tools to be able to defeat that enemy. This is what he's saying. I come that you may have life. And did he already come? Did he die on the cross for your sins? He's already paid the price so that you can have a life more abundantly. Amen. Yes. That you may have a life. Amen. It depends on you. Yes. He's did his part. When people say, I'm waiting on God. No, you are not. Hallelujah. Squash that. Amen. Kill that. Amen. You've heard people say, if I take one step, God takes two. It ain't in the Bible. Hallelujah. Let me tell you. The steps have already been taken to Golgotha. He's not waiting on you to take any steps so he can make two. He's did all the steps that he need to. He's already provided. All he's waiting for you to do is get on board. And once you get on board, you gird yourself with the tools of prayer, of fasting, of reading his word. Then you find the life more abundantly. If you're still struggling with the same old things, you're not finding life more abundantly, maybe you should check your walk. Maybe you should check, is, are you really doing it the way God has says it? There is no halfway. You got to do it fully if you want to get the promises that God has. But if you like struggling, just continue what you're doing. When you're sick and tired of being sick and tired, when you want to see that the enemy is not taken from you, when you are getting tired of seeing that your family's not doing well, you're tired of seeing your family sick, when you just hear about prayer requests and start praying instead of saying, oh, yeah, I'm going to pray for you. What do you got to wait for? Pray right now. Talk to God. That communion is so very important. I don't even know how to write notes. Goodness gracious. And he comes in any form that he can, physically, financially, emotionally, confusion. Have you guys ever tried to buy a car and the salesman, he has a very confusing tack. He talks fast. And before you even say, no, I don't want this, he's already got you talking to the finance office, already trying to do the paperwork. You got to say, stop. I don't want to hear it. I don't make a decision right now. Just stop. Give me a few minutes. That's exactly how the devil does. Just keeps talking fast at you. You even hear on your knees praying, and he'll be talking to your ear. You ain't serious this time. You don't want to come. How many times you done been to this altar? You ain't serious this time. You know you're going to go right back out there and do what you did. Why do you want to get baptized again? They're getting tired of baptizing you. You should tell them to keep the water in there for when you come back. I remember when I was a teenager and I got baptized, and as soon as I came out the water, I was rapping Easy in the bathroom as I was drying off. And I was like, goodness gracious, did that work? Do I need to go back? Satan said, boy, you didn't get baptized. You wasn't serious. Everybody else, when they got baptized, they were speaking in tongues. The devil was just really talking into my ear. And thank God for the brothers that came in, and he says, boy, put his hands on my shoulder. He said, boy, you've been redeemed. You've been redeemed, boy. And I was like, oh my, all right. Thank you. We need men. We need brothers and sisters that will come and follow up with the word of God. You know what I'm talking about? Because when the enemy comes in like a flood, he will do his best to confuse you. Have you had confusion in your life? Have you had those times when it's like everything is coming at you at the same time? And I just need a break. Only God can give you what you need. So how do we do it? How do we do it? So I go back to Isaiah 59 and 21. He says, he reminds us. As for me, says the Lord, this is my covenant with them. My spirit, who is upon you, my words, which I have put in your mouth. You know what's going to come out? Is what you've put in. You don't have no word in you. You don't have no faith in you. It's not going to come out. Shall not depart from your mouth. This is a wonderful thing. Now, I mentioned my mother earlier. It says, your descendants, nor from the mouth of your descendants' descendants, says the Lord, from this time and forevermore. I'm leaving an inheritance, just like my mama did. Yeah, I'm doing a little bit better than my mom, so I can give my kids some gifts, but I will not neglect the most important thing. They still need Jesus. And I'm not doing it for them. I'm doing it for their children. Your little kids. Your little rung rats. Right now, I'm doing it for them. What I'm imparting to my children, I want my grandchildren to get it. I want my grandchildren to have devotion in their home and lift up God and use their talents in the house to uplift God's kingdom. So when their grandchildren get it, they can say, you know what, there was one of my great-great-grandfathers. He was serious about God. Just like we're saying today. You know how they said the God of Asa, the God of Isaac, the God of Abraham. They was referring back to who got them there. Who was going to refer back to you? And some might say, hey, I don't want nobody to refer to me. But woe is you. You should really consider that. What kind of legacy are you leaving? Money's good. Bible says money answers things. Maybe a couple of houses, a couple of cars. That's fine. But you understand those things pass away. What you instill in here, God in their hearts, that's what's going to live forever. From this time, forevermore. So resist him. This is how you do it. Resist him. Now, it seems like it was not very powerful to resist the devil. It seems like just standing there and say, no, I don't want it. No, I don't want it. I'm not going to do that. There's a power in resisting. Saying no. I've been there. I really loved scripture all my life when I was growing up as a teenager, trying to maintain the standard of waiting till I got married. And I failed. I failed by 6 months. I want to share with you. I had said I wanted to wait till I was married. And then 6 months before I met my wife, I lost my virginity to a girl And then I kept trying to prove, because she said I didn't know how to do it. I should have said, you're right. It's my first time. But my pride got in the way, so I kept going. I'm going to prove to her that I know how to do it. It was not my place. That was the trick of the enemy. Get that pride rolled up, and then you won't be going after him. He is unrelenting, and I'm mad at the place, but resisting. As Paul wrote to the church in Colossians chapter 2 and 21, he told them to touch not, taste not, handle not. And you say, man, I'm good with the touching. I don't touch. I'm good with the handling. I ain't tasting nothing. What are you talking about? But can I tell you, anything that you partake in, you're tasting it. If you're spending a lot of time, watch back-to-back Netflix shows. What do you call it? Binging? Thank you. And you know that those shows are not beneficial to your spiritual man, and you continue to binge, what are you tasting of? And here's the worst part about it. When you are really tasting something, it gives you a taste to see if you like it when you've had something for the first time. But you're not tasting anymore. Let's be honest with yourself. You're not tasting anymore when you sit down and binge on it. I'm eating. I'm getting fat off of it. Gorging. Then you come into the house of God, or you come to wherever you go and worship and feel like, hey, now I'm going to go off in Jesus' name. But there is no power in you. Because what you have tasted, what you have touched, and what you have handled. So resist. Resist those things. The resistance. Use God's word. You remember? Well, I'm not going to say you remember, because I don't want to assume that everybody's reading their Bible or everybody has been growing up in church. But there was a time when Jesus, after he got baptized by John, that he went into the wilderness. And he was in the wilderness and he fasted for 40 days. And in those 40 days, he got a visitor. Guess who that was? The same one that is tempting us each and every day. The same one that is battling us. And he tempted him on three things. And he was saying, you know what? Fall down in these rocks and let these angels protect you. He says, hey, why don't you turn this stone into bread? And what did Jesus do? He used the word. Amen. He used the word on him. It's kind of hard to use the word if it's not in you. If you have not meditated on it. You guys remember that word, to regurgitate? If you haven't meditated on it, if you don't have it in you, and you say, oh, I forgot that scripture. The devil's like, yeah, I'll quote it to you. Because you ain't got no power. He knows it. He just needs you to remind him of it. But if you don't know it, can't remind him of it. He resisted the devil. He didn't go up swinging. He used his spiritual tools. He didn't say, get up out of here. No kung fu fighting. He used the word to do it all for him. Resist the devil. And it says he will flee. Can I tell you that it's temporary, though? He'll flee. He's going back to the drawing board. He ain't done. He's going back to the drawing board. Where else can I get you at, Sherrod? Where else can I get you? He's got to hurry up and get back, because he's patient. He's got to look at all those things. Oh, that's the weak spot right there. That's a weak spot. Oh, they stopped praying because they've been worrying about this thing. They've been worrying about this situation. I got him. Send the demons right now. Carnesha, I'm coming. Man, what if he told you he was coming? Would you be ready? Pray. Stay in constant communication with him. One of the most important elements that we need in war is communication. Logistics is another one, but just in communication, because let me tell you why. If your communication breaks down and you are in the heat of the battle, headquarters do not know where to send the strike. If you break down in communication, headquarters do not know where to send the bullets and the ammo, the replenishment. Where do I send the troops to back you up at? But we're not communicating, so I don't know. And if you're not communicating with them and they're not communicating with you, which God is constantly waiting on you, he's waiting to hear from you so that he can release what you need, your replenishment. He's waiting on you to talk with him so that he can give you the blessings. He can give you the strength that you need. But all we fail to do is just talk to him. I'll give you that little 2-second prayer before a meal. I don't want to pray too long because I don't want the dinner to get cold. Or I'll ask you to watch over me while I'm driving and give you the little bit of this. But I'm talking about a serious communication. The communication you had when you really loved that friend or that companion, that deep and intimate communication where he tells you when things are coming before they come. That communication when he tells you that, hey, you need to take this with you because you're going to need it. I need you to read this scripture. I need you to be girded up in this area. I'm going to take you through here for a season because I need you to be stay completely away from what's going on over here because I need you for this purpose. You are going to be my reinforcements for my brothers over there. But if you're not in tune with them, you're not going to be able to hear that. That communication, that prayer is so very important. We have this spirit. We having the spirit of God in us. We can cause the enemy to flee using the God's word packed with faith, which will enable us to be the standard. When the enemy comes in like a flood. Oh, I lost my page. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against him. And like I was telling you before at the beginning, is that there are rigorous tests and rigorous things that a hotel has to go through to be that standard of a 5-star hotel. But once those standards and those amenities and things that are provided all come together, the hotel itself is a 5-star or a 4-star, whatever rating it's trying to go for. Once we, likewise, go through those rigorous tests, and that we do everything that is available and making ourselves available to God and doing everything that God requires of us, we become the standard. And he raises us up. He will lift up a standard in the kingdom so that people can see you. He has you on display so people can say, this is how we do it in our house. This is what God wants from us. He has blessed us that we have leaders, apostles, and different elders and leaders and the ministers in this house and the houses of God back at your own home churches that got you here today. Amen. Or even in your own homes that got you here today. There was a standard that was raised up so people could see. That's why it was so very important when people were in battle. You saw you've already seen the even what they showed on there with my the message title. Is that they were so important in war is to keep the flag flying. The flag could not drop. And so they would keep that standard up so that people would know this is where we are and we are still moving forward. We have not given up. We need standards to stand. We need standards lifted up. Who will stand? Good. Everybody stand up. And in closing, it says, casting all your cares upon him, for he careth for you, whom resisted steadfast in faith, knowing that the same afflictions which were accomplished in you, in your brethren, that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who has called us unto his eternal glory by Jesus Christ, after that you have suffered a little while. Has anybody suffered? Is anybody suffering now? It says, the end of this verse, it says, to make you perfect. Establish and strengthen you and settle you. Be settled in Jesus' name. Be strengthened. Amen. In Jesus' name. There's no question about it. You need a God standard in your life. Amen. It's not a matter of if the enemy comes. It is a matter of when. And it may be when you leave this place. It may when you get home or in the middle of the night. Maybe if you're lucky, it'll be tomorrow when you're at job and on your job. But he is coming. You may have got him to flee today, but he will be back. And it is up to you to get in right relationship with God. And if you do not have a right relationship, if you are still a babe and you have not grown since you have known him, it's given your life to God, I'm asking you to come. The invitation is there. If you have not given your life to God, I'm asking you to come. Yeah, I've told you and I've warned you that when you come into the body of Christ, you are gaining an enemy. You are married into a family who has a great enemy that is seeking to destroy you. But if you are bold enough to know that what God is doing and what God can do for you, come. Come to the altar. Give your life to God. Let him know that you believe that he will take care of you. That you're not going to just live a life haphazardly, but you're going to live a life more abundantly. I'm asking you to come. If you fell off and you feel like, man, I just don't know. I really hear the devil talking to me right now. I'm asking you to come in spite of what he's saying to you. That I don't feel comfortable. I don't think I should go up there. I don't know what all this means. We got people that will walk with you in the body of Christ. And if not, we'll pray with you right there at your seats. Because we know that the enemy is running rampant. We see it in the news. We see it in the body of Christ. We see it in our homes. The enemy is trying to devour us, take us out. And I need you to recognize, like I said before, that he is not playing any games. He is not playing any games with you. So you need not play a game, not another day with him. Be serious about attacking him. Be serious about your worship. Be serious about your prayer life. Don't get cut off in the heat of the battle. That is the worst thing that could ever happen, is that you lose instruction where God wants you to go for the next because you have not been communicating. I'm going to ask you to bow your heads. Father God. God, we just thank you for your word. We thank you for the acknowledgement. We thank you, Lord God, for exposing, Lord God, the plans of the enemy, Lord God. Some of us may have recognized it. Some of us may be going through it right now, Lord God. But we are asking you right now to lift up your standard in our homes, Lord God. Let us begin at home, Lord God, in our hearts. And then spread abroad, Lord God, so that when we go to places, that standard goes with us. When we wake up in the morning, the flag is raised. And the banner over us is love. Before we lay our heads down, Lord God, that we have positioned our flags, Lord God. That people know what our standard is. And that we don't have to worry while we rest at night because you are a God that never slumbers nor sleeps. And that you are covering us, Lord God, where we are vulnerable, Lord God, in our sleep. But you are still watching over us. Help us, Lord God, to ignore the heart, ignore the hearing, Lord God, ignore the voice of the enemy. Your word says that your sheep hear your voice, and a stranger they will not follow, Lord God. And for too long, Lord God, that we have been listening to strangers. We ask you right now to close it up right now, that they would hear the shepherd on today, and that they would purpose to be in the quiet time to listen and study to hear your voice. And then when they hear your instruction, when they hear you, Lord God, that they have a hunger up inside them, that they will continue to listen to your voice. And that the lines of communication between you and them will grow. And they will grow and it would edify the body of Christ. Lord, we are asking, Lord God, also, Lord God, for the households, heads of households, Lord God, is that they would come into an alignment with you, Lord God, like never before, Lord God. That men would purpose, Lord God, to live for you wholeheartedly, Lord God, so that their descendants, their children's children, and their children's children, that your word would be on the lips, Lord God, of their descendants. We love you and we honor you today, Lord God, and we ask you to seal it right now in your Son Jesus' name, Lord God. Let it be so. Let it be so. Let it be so. In your Son Jesus' name. Amen. You have your seats. Who is the taking over? Okay. Amen. I'm going to turn it over to the hands of Elder Nick. I pray that you have been blessed by the word, but more so.